Hello and welcome to the podcast about Billy Milligan, the many faces of Billy Milligan, many personalities of Billy Milligan, and the inspiration of one of my most favorite movies, Split. Mm-hmm. Very good movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, I even like the subsequent one, although I didn't think it was as good as Split.
Glass.
Yeah, I didn't think it was as good as Split.
Glass wasn't even as good as Unbreakable.
No, it wasn't actually.
Because Unbreakable started it.
Unbreakable was a great movie.
And the kid was in, the one that from Split was actually in Unbreakable.
That's true. Yeah. I think Split was a great movie, and it was a good representation of what was reported that Billy Milligan went through.
Mm-hmm.
Actually kind of hits home a little bit because he was in Ohio.
Yeah. It was a good recipe.
Actually lived on our street. I
think so. Yeah, we found that out like after we moved here and we were in our mall.
Somebody told us
because we signed up for their rewards card or something, and they had magazines delivered here, and they told us that he lived on our street at one time.
It's fascinating, though. I mean, the whole idea of multiple personalities and how the different personalities have different, they can have different ailments and different talents, and it really speaks to how
powerful the human mind is.
How complex the brain is, and how little we understand about how those things work. Even the multiple personalities is often triggered by trauma that is almost like a fail-safe to protect you from reliving that trauma.
But what I don't understand is how with multiple personalities, you always have your base personality, which is you, I guess. But how can you have personalities that are diabetic and you yourself are not diabetic? Or one has asthma, but you don't have asthma.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the mystery of it. And I don't think it's ever been fully explained, just that it has existed. Or someone who's never studied the piano, but one of their personalities is
fluent.
Yeah, and can play the piano like, you know, without any problems, without any hesitation. Or speaks a different language, but that base personality's never been exposed to that.
Or has a very minimal education.
Or minimal education. So I think that's fascinating. But Billy wasn't exactly the nicest guy either. He did some bad stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he did some really bad stuff. Kind of, again, like the character from Split.
I don't think Kevin Wendell actually did anything. He was just subject of a lot of abuse that made the personalities come out. I think it was the personalities for him that did stuff bad.
Correct, but the character was kidnapping girls to feed them to the beast.
That was one of the characters. That
correct.
Wasn't Kevin.
I understand it wasn't Kevin. But they still kidnap people.
Well, the personalities did, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but the base personality stayed hidden almost through that entire movie.
That's
and
true.
Through the third one, too. He didn't come out until the very end.
It's true. Well, let's go ahead and get started with good old Billy fucking Milligan.
Wow, why you gotta put the fucking in there?
Sounds like an Irish name. I figured it probably fits.
I guess so. Okay, Billy Milligan was born in 1955 in Miami Beach. His parents were Dorothy and Johnny. His father had problems with alcoholism and depression, so probably not the greatest dad. His father actually had two suicide attempts. First attempt, Dorothy found him slumped over the table. Half a bottle of scotch and an empty bottle of sleeping pills were beside him. So I guess he wanted to go out the right way.
Guess so.
A few months later, because obviously the first attempt didn't work. A few months later, he tried again and succeeded by carbon monoxide poisoning. Why?
Why what?
Why would you choose that way?
Go to sleep. No pain. Just go to sleep.
Yeah, but at first you're hacking and coughing away.
Yeah,
so.
But it's fairly painless as you would. Well, maybe not as painless as maybe pills, but I don't know. I mean, you go to sleep. It's cheap.
I guess. After the father died, Dorothy moved herself and her kids back to Ohio.
Did you say you're not saying the town?
I wasn't going to, but now I will, back to Lancaster, Ohio.
Okay.
Dorothy moved, married her first husband again, and that lasted about a year. So she married this guy. I guess he was kind of abusive, divorced, married the second guy, and that's where, that was Billy's dad, I think. So she moved back here and married her first husband yet again, because I guess thought second time work out better. I don't think it did. There's a reason why you divorced him the first time.
Yeah.
In 1962, she met and married Calmer Milligan. They were married in Circleville, Ohio on October 27th, 1963. Milligan is said to have abused Billy, which may have helped with the multiple personalities.
Of course. I mean, it's always triggered by a traumatic event.
Always. His first three personalities were no-name boy, Christine, and Sean. How sad is that? You have a personality that you don't give a name to.
Must have been the one that nobody else liked.
Could be. They appeared by the time he was 5 years old, so that's kind of early.
Yeah, but it might have been helping him deal with what had happened to him or what was happening.
Because I believe the abuse was both physical and sexual.
Yeah, so he needed something.
Something to block that. In 1975, Billy was imprisoned at Lebanon Correctional Institution in Ohio for rape and armed robbery. That's the one we always go by, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's, I don't know. Like I said, he wasn't like a stand-up guy, Billy Milligan wasn't. But you have to remember that this was probably his personalities.
Yeah, because, yeah. That'll come out.
Yeah.
But yeah. He was released on parole in early 1977. But of course, he had to register as a sex offender because of the rape charge. In October of 1977, he was arrested again for raping three women on OSU campus. One victim said that he was quite nice and that he acted like a three-year-old girl. So that could be Christine.
Okay.
Since he had used a gun and guns were found in a search, he had violated his parole as well. So the guns violated parole, but not the three rapes.
Right. My question is, why is a three-year-old girl raping people?
That's a good question. Well, maybe the three-year-old girl was the one that was nice.
Yeah.
You know, maybe she calmed everybody down, and then the rapey personality came out.
Well, I'm not going to make a joke because rape isn't funny, but I just, to me, that's a hole in the story. Three-year-old girl raping people, I would have questions if I was a psychologist.
Yeah, yeah. And then if you've got it, if you're the person that's there, if he starts acting like a three-year-old, couldn't you fight him off?
Yeah.
Because if they're acting like a three-year-old, they would have three-year-old strength.
Maybe not the strength part, but definitely the knowledge. And
yeah. So, I mean, you can trick a three-year-old.
Yeah.
Here's a sucker.
Right.
And run away. But you don't know how long the three-year-old was there, I guess. He was indicted on three counts of kidnapping, three counts of aggravated robbery, and four counts of rape. He then stayed in the Ohio State Penitentiary. Is that the one at Mansfield?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That's the one that was in Shawshank?
Yeah.
Okay. In preparing his defense, he underwent a psychological examination by Dr. Willis C. Driscoll, who diagnosed Billy with acute schizophrenia. He was then examined by psychologist Dorothy Turner of Southwest Community Mental Health Center in Columbus, Ohio. During this examination, she concluded that Billy suffered from multiple personality disorder.
Which would probably be the chick that was represented in the movie.
Yeah, the old lady?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they made it sound like it was kind of a extreme case, where this is more probably of a, they knew about it, but this is an extreme case as well.
Yeah, but I think the guy in the movie had a lot more personalities than Billy did.
20?
Maybe.
24, something like that.
Maybe not.
I thought they mirrored it pretty good. I thought it was,
we'll see. I can't remember how many he had, but
I mean,
he had quite a few.
I mean, obviously, you know, Billy didn't have the beast, but he did have the professor or something of that effect.
Yeah, I think so. Due to this, what she came up with, his defenders pleaded an insanity defense. He was then committed until such a time as he regains sanity. I don't see that happening.
I think that was pretty much them saying he's not getting out.
Yeah. He was sent to a series of state-run mental hospitals, such as Athens State Hospital, also known as the Ridges, where he said he got very little help.
Which is haunted as fuck.
Yeah, and it's pretty close.
Yeah, and it's pretty close. We'd love to go through that, but you can't even get into it. You can walk up to the building.
You can walk up to the building around it and do, like, the tours and stuff, but I don't think they actually do tours inside anymore. And the Ridges is still operational, just not...
certain parts of it.
And, no, I think they're in a completely different facility now.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure if it's still called the Ridges.
It's not. It's called something different.
But it's still the same people, and they still have some of those same patients. They just transferred. While he was in these hospitals, he reported having 10 different personalities. Later, an additional 14 personalities labeled the undesirables were discovered. So, yeah, I guess you're right. He had 24. Because they knew of 10, and the 14 more were found.
Well, and split, he had, I think it was 24. Like that.
It's 23 or 24. He had quite a few. He received treatment from psychologist... oh, my Lord. I can't even read my own handwriting. David Coral, maybe? Who diagnosed the additional 14 personalities. Billy was released in 1988 after a decade in mental hospitals and discharged from the Ohio mental health system and the Ohio courts in August of 1991. In 1996, he lived in California where he owned Stormy Life Productions. He was going to make a short film, but never did. His location thereafter remained for a long time unknown. Billy ended up dying of cancer at a nursing home in Columbus on December 12, 2014. He was only 59 years old.
He didn't die alone, though. He had 23 other personalities.
Right, because I don't think they ever went away. So, the personalities are, like I said, broke down into two different categories. The first one is the alters. That's the first 10, I think. And then your undesirables, which are your other 14.
Now, I know the thing in Split, in which I think this touched on that too, the idea was for all of the reason why that they were... the personalities were kidnapping these girls. And in this movie, the undesirables were the ones who stole the light. Mm-hmm. And kept everybody else out of the
light. And he has a couple personalities, too, that can pull ones up and put ones back, I think.
Yeah, so the light being, you know, the way that it has been described is that a personality is almost like going into a spotlight or stepping into a spotlight, and that person has then control over
the body.
Over the body and the mind and those sort of things. So I know in Split, the undesirables were the ones who had the light, and they would go in between.
Yeah, it was the little boy personality, right? That was switching everybody.
Yeah, and I think the idea was that they would all come together and then merge as one and become the beast. And that's why they were kidnapping the girls, because the beast needed...
or it was the beast personality that was going to take over, and the ones that helped him take over were the ones that were going to be able to stay in the spotlight the most or something like that. Yeah.
Right. Which, the beast was a badass character.
Oh, yeah.
He was a badass. James McAvoy.
He's an amazing actor.
Jesus Christ. And how big he got for that role. Amazing.
It's hard to believe he's Professor X.
Yeah. Amazing job. Amazing, amazing, amazing job. But... I think with Billy Milligan, he had the group of alters, like you said, the ones that were allowed to be in the light, and then the undesirables who were not allowed to be in the light.
They were at one time, but they did stuff to make them undesirable.
Which was the professor's doing. The professor was the one who said...
you're now... and I think he described it like they do in the movie, too, where you're in a big room, and you're all sitting in chairs in like a circle, and then the spotlight's in the middle, and then... whoever's turn it is or whatever happens to trigger that specific personality to come through will then step into the spotlight.
But he had a head honcho personality.
I think he had a couple.
Yeah. But the professor was who they were, eventually, I guess, merged them or did something to where he could live in peace.
I think so. Yeah. Okay, the altars are the 10. Billy, of course, being the core personality. He's the one that should always be in control, I guess, but isn't. Arthur is an extremely sophisticated and educated Englishman. He is an expert in science and medicine with a focus on hematology. He was in the spot during times that required intellectual thinking. Arthur is one of only two personalities who classify a person in the group as undesirable. So, that right there is kind of interesting.
It's a council. Because it is a council. I mean, it's a council, right?
Kinda. But my thing is that he's an Englishman, so he's going to have the accent. The fact that he's a scientist specializing in hematology.
Which means he's going to have to know that stuff, otherwise.
Right, and hematology is blood, correct?
Mm-hmm. It's your blood count, and those sort of things. Usually associated with cancer and, you know, stuff like that. So.
And Billy, I don't think, was super educated, was he?
No. Actually, it was, I think, in some of the interviews that we saw, how he talked about hematology, and they kind of baffled people because it was way above his level.
Yeah, I don't even think he graduated high school.
It couldn't have been anything, too, that he heard and made up. This was in-depth stuff, like on a cellular level that he knew.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to warn you now. I'm going to butcher this other name because it's Siberian. So, Reagan Vodatskanovich, does that sound right?
We'll go with it.
Is the keeper of hate. That's his title. His name comes from the words rage again. He describes himself as Yugoslavian, has a Slavic accent, can write and speak in Siberian, and is extraordinarily strong. He takes the spot in dangerous times and can designate group members as undesirable. He admitted committing the robbery that Billy got in trouble for, and he did this in order to support the family, but had no knowledge of the rapes. Now, the family is Billy and then all the personalities. So you have this guy who is the protector. He's the one, the protector and provider, I guess, since he robbed.
Which you would need if you were abused. You would.
Right.
You would have a protective person. Just like, you know, the Hulk and Bruce Banner.
Right.
You know, when Bruce was a kid, his father in comic books, you know, physical abuse, mental abuse, the Hulk was supposed to represent the protective
part of that.
Right.
Alan is a con man and a manipulator. He is the most common person to talk to the outside world. He plays the drums and paints portraits. Also, he's the only right-handed.
I can't recall the names from Split, but I could see all the characters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of names. And you don't really see all of them,
no,
except for when she's
the
watching.
The main ones.
Yeah, the only time you see more of them is when she's watching that video clip. But what surprises me is that the one that takes the germaphobe, that is actually the one that, you know, kidnaps the girls and actually wants to do stuff to the girls.
That's that Reagan character.
He was able to, no.
Yeah, I'd say he is.
Reagan doesn't rape. That guy would.
But he saves.
Okay, Dave Chappelle.
I'm just kidding.
No, he just made me lose my train of thought because of that.
You keep playing it over in your mind, don't you?
Yeah. But that personality knew how to impersonate the one that was always supposed to be in the forefront.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fashion guy.
Yeah. Barry.
Barry. Okay. Alan was the only right-handed personality. He is also the only personality that was a smoker. So everybody else was left-handed. Which is interesting, too, because when you have that, if you have somebody that's right-handed, and then all your personalities are left-handed, that's kind of interesting, too.
It is. You'd have to be ambidextrous if you're going to fake that.
Yeah. Tommy is the escape artist. He is often confused with Alan. He plays the tenor sax and is an electronics expert. He is also a painter specializing in landscapes.
I believe he comes in handy for Billy, too.
Yeah. And see, now you got two painters. And we've seen, like, the paintings and, like, documentaries and stuff we watched. They were pretty good.
They were good.
I mean, they were pretty good. Danny is afraid of people, especially men. He also paints, but he only paints still life and never paints landscapes. He says this was because David... This was because...
And again, art is a complicated thing to know what styles and what you use here. So for him to have those, have that kind of a knowledge of painting theories and, you know, just what you use here, and this is a still and this is a landscape, yeah. And then, I mean, that in itself, you have to be pretty intelligent to know and understand.
Well, and to mix paints and how you mix paints and what paints are best with what. But Danny never painted landscapes because the stepfather made him dig his own grave and buried him in it. Yeah. So, and that's also why Danny is afraid of men.
I think the biggest question there is you have to ask, what did he do to deserve it? I mean, he's trying to teach the boy. He's trying to teach him. That's how we do it in Ohio.
Is it?
It is.
I mean, I know you, the little shit that you were, would dig traps and the little trip cords and
still do it.
Dig holes and then mask him for
like a little fucking Frank Castle out there.
And what's hilarious is that you did it around your dad's pot fields.
I did. Actually, gave my dad a concussion, I think.
And you almost broke your uncle's leg.
Yeah, I know. I fucked his knee up. Fuck with me.
They thought.
Fuck with me, will ya?
And they thought somebody found their stash and was trapped.
No. The other funny story about that is I took my dad's father, my grandfather, who I didn't know very well, was a police officer in Circleville. I think maybe chief of police. I know he was up there. And he came out to see my father about something. We lived out in the country. And I had taken all the grass clippings from when they had mowed the yard, and I put it in a bag. And not, hey, Grandpa, or love you, Papa, or anything like that. I mean, I think I was five. I said, hey, I say half an ounce. Well, I said half a gounce.
Half a gounce.
Yeah, and so my grandpa gave me a couple dollars, and then he went over to my dad, and he said, real nice, I ought to take your ass into jail right now.
For teaching your son how to sell half a gounce. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of places to set traps. But I know that's not what we're talking about, but even still, I mean, that's how we do it in Ohio.
Wow. David was an 8-year-old, and he was labeled the keeper of pain. He comes to the spot to take the pain of the others. So that's pretty much all he does. If somebody's getting beat, like if Billy was being beat, or maybe even...
He's the one who absorbs
it. Yeah, or maybe even molested, he would come through and take that so that Billy didn't have
to. It's interesting, he has a keeper of hate, too, so he doesn't get consumed with hate, or it doesn't poison everybody. Yeah. Just one person.
Yeah, Reagan takes the hate, which he's the protector, so it makes sense. Christine, we were right, is the 3-year-old. She was the one who would stand in a corner in school when Billy would get in trouble. She has dyslexia, but Arthur taught her how to read and write, and Reagan has a special bond with her. So when it seems like when Billy would get in trouble, Christine would take, she would take the punishments for him. And just that just tells you something. She's dyslexic, but the other, another personality taught her how to read and write.
Right. I mean, I don't think Billy Milligan's making this shit up.
It's too involved.
Yeah, I really don't think he would make. I mean, I don't understand what his motive would be anyway. It's not like he's going to get out of trouble. You're still going to jail.
Well, yeah, because you got eyewitnesses that said, yeah, he raped me. Right. I mean, you're not getting out of that.
I just think it was by fate that they happened to catch him and then uncover. Because he was, I mean, it sounds like he was suffering. I mean, can you imagine, like, waking up and not knowing that you did something that was really bad.
Because you have so many personalities. And do they know they have?
In some cases, they recommend that the personalities leave notes for each other. You know, about what... Because you, the theory is that when another personality is in the light, all the other personalities are asleep. So they don't know what's going on. And so they recommend as a form of communication either to record it or write it down.
Which is what they did in Split, is they would do webcam recordings. But here's my question. If they're asleep, how did Arthur teach Christine how to read and write?
Maybe, you know, it was one of those things where they mutually agreed to be awake. And
okay. Or maybe they're not asleep, but they're there and knowing what's going on, but just can't take the light.
Maybe left instructions for her.
Maybe.
But she's 3 years old. How do we know she's dyslexic? That's a question. How do we know?
Well, aren't 3 year olds, don't they start learning their ABCs and reading little books? Maybe that's how. Because dyslexic is mixing up words, right?
No, it's everything's backwards when you go to read. Or most of the letters are backwards.
Okay.
Or the sentences are backwards.
You're just not reading it the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
Christopher is the next one, and he is Christine's brother. And the only thing it said about him is that he plays the harmonica. Adelina is a lesbian, cooks and cleans the house for others.
I'm a lesbian.
And writes poetry. Billy... His attorney claimed that Adelina had admitted to committing the rapes without the knowledge of Billy or the other alters. So Adelina is the raper, not Billy.
How'd that play out in court? Not well.
Well, you got one shrink that's seen that said he's a schizophrenic. I know schizophrenics are supposed to hear voices.
They hear voices, they have delusions, and visual and auditory hallucinations.
But straight up other personalities.
Usually. I mean, that's kind of weird.
And when he was doing this, they were still learning about multiple personalities.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, they knew about it. And now it's more like DID, dissociative identity disorder, you know, where you disassociate from
yourself, right? And others take over.
Right.
Now we move to the undesirables. These people were labeled undesirable after breaking the rules laid down by Reagan and Arthur. These alters were no longer allowed in the spotlight and only revealed themselves after Billy was sent to the hospital. So I guess they thought, now's the time to let ourselves be known, I guess. Phil is a thug and took part in planning some small-time crimes. He has a Brooklyn accent, and he was marked undesirable due to him being a criminal. Well, technically, Reagan is, too. He robbed something. Is it because he robbed something to provide for everybody that he's not a criminal?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. It's kind of like the age-old question, right? If your kid's sick, you don't have the money for the medicine, nobody will help you, and you steal it so your kid can be better, are you really a criminal? It's kind of the same.
Yeah. Kevin is a criminal planner. He helped devise a plan to rob a drugstore. And he's also undesirable because he's a criminal. Doesn't say that they actually robbed the drugstore. He just made the plan. Walter is Australian. He calls himself a big game hunter and has an excellent sense of direction. He was often used as a spotter. He was labeled because he shot and killed a cow. A crow.
Oh.
So he shot and killed a crow, and then that labeled him undesirable.
Okay.
Maybe the others liked animals, and that's why. I don't know. April only has thoughts about destroying Billy's stepfather. She was declared undesirable when she convinced Reagan to kill the stepfather. Arthur was able to talk him out of it just before he did it. Well, I mean, if anybody needs to die, I'd say it's a stepfather.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because all these personalities are here, because of the stepfather. Samuel is a Jewish person and the only one who believes in God. He was marked because he sold some of the other people's personal paintings.
A little art theft.
I'm just saying.
Not gonna fucking happen in this mind. I can tell you that.
I'm just saying, if he's selling the paintings so that everybody can eat, how is he labeled undesirable?
Am I the same as this guy? He shot a crow. This is not the same thing.
Well, and then you got the one guy who actually legit robbed the bank. Or not the bank, or whatever he robbed. But he's one of the ones that gets to make decisions.
But he's also the one who's very strong. He's probably like, well, look, I ain't going anywhere.
Well, there's that too. I guess you can't make it go.
Right.
Mark is the workhorse. He is often referred to as the zombie because he does nothing unless he was told, and will sit and stare at walls when bored. How's that going to make you not bored if you're just sitting and staring at walls?
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead. Yeah, I can just go ahead and put him. Steve is the imposter. He uses imitation... imitations as comedy.
Say technical difficulties.
Yeah, my brain stopped working. Right. That's what it is. Steve never accepted that he was a he was undesirable. And he was made undesirable because his comedy caused the family problems. So apparently, if you're not funny, you're undesirable.
Oh.
Lee is the prankster, and his practical jokes normally get the family into trouble. He does not care about consequences for his actions. He was made undesirable because his jokes put them into solitary confinement.
Okay.
So he must really not be funny.
Or troublesome.
And you gotta wonder, how long were they in solitary? Have to be a minute if you're gonna get put in that undesirable category. Jason is the pressure valve. He was used at the beginning to release tension for the family, but he caused them to get into too much trouble and was then marked as undesirable. The hell was he doing to relieve some tension? He could have been the rapey one.
Could have been.
Because, I mean, that's a good tension relief is some sex.
Is it? Well, sex is, yeah. I don't know. We wouldn't know about rape, but yeah, sex.
I'm not saying rape is a tension relief. I'm saying the sex act.
But rape isn't about sex. It's about control.
Well,
So maybe he just was more of the,
I'm going to pound on some shit.
Yeah.
Bobby always dreams of leading some adventure or fixing some global crisis, but he has no ambitions and was labeled due to that fact. So he wants to do that stuff, but he's just not going to.
Half of America.
Sean, who is 4 and deaf, makes buzzing sounds so he can feel the vibration in his head. He was labeled an undesirable because there was no benefit from being deaf later in life. Even though he is an undesirable, he was never cast into the shadows beyond the spot. He was just never allowed to take the spot.
Oh my God, they're going to pick on the disabled boy?
I'm just saying. Martin is a snob from New York. That explains it. He wants things handed over to him without earning them. Gee, who does that sound like? Not going to say anything. But with everything going on right now, I think we know who I'm talking about. Timothy worked in a florist shop until he encountered a gay man who flirted with him. He went into his own world after that. So it doesn't say he did anything to the guy. It's just that, well, and that could have also been because the stepfather sexually molested Billy. So that could have just been traumatic for Timothy in and of itself. Because he could be remembering what the stepfather did and thinking this guy's going to do the same thing to me. And that just set him off into his own. The teacher,
not the professor.
Is not an undesirable. The teacher was by far the greatest milestone for helping Billy achieve fusion. He is the sum of all 24 people put together and has almost total recall of all the other people's thoughts and actions. Milligan, the second husband, turned out to be a cruel person who was inclined to violence and sadism.
Can I just go back to the council of personalities?
Okay.
Definitely, you could see where the stratification is of his ethics, of Billy's ethics. But you can also see, too, that there's parts of him that aren't that educated. Like, you shot a crow, so you're an undesirable. That didn't even make sense. The deaf kid was an undesirable.
He wasn't really...
I mean, like, we're not gonna let him because he just buzzes.
Well, like, I don't think it's that either. It's that giving him the spotlight is not... He's not going to be able to learn anything that will benefit the others because he can't hear anything. So maybe that's what it is. It's not that they labeled
still
him...
Still fucked up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not that they necessarily labeled him undesirable. I think they just put him in the undesirable category because he's there.
You're undesirable.
Well, I think it's... that they put him there because you're there but you're not allowed to take the spotlight, whereas all these other ones are undesirables because they're not allowed to take the spotlight, whereas all the other ones are able to. So I'm assuming that he's just listed as an undesirable because he never takes
this. Most of the people in the undesirable category are just annoying,
and that's probably why they're in the undesirables, because the other ones don't want to deal with them and they got him into too much trouble.
And they didn't contribute to
the collective.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the contribution. Like, who? It's like being on an island and you've got two groups of people. Which group gets the food and which doesn't? The group that gets the food are the ones that can contribute. I mean, really, that's what it comes down to, right?
Right. But well, that doesn't make sense either, because you got two criminals that want to rob shit.
But they obviously, there are skills they have that.
And then you got the one that just sold some paintings. And got put in there. Because he just sold some paintings.
Well, you can't be stealing shit.
Yeah, I guess that's a conversation you have with the people that painted it.
You can't be stealing. You just can't take it. I mean, you can't have a thief among the group. What good's that going to do for the group?
Really? Reagan robbed a place.
But
he robbed the place.
But he's really fucking strong. So he's like, I'm not going anywhere, motherfucker.
Or is it because he had a noble reason for robbing something?
I just think there's not a clear line.
There's really not.
Not a clear line. The guy shot the crow. I probably would have let him stay. Like, go ahead and stay.
Well, maybe it's also because he was a big game hunter. So they told him you're not allowed to kill anything. And if you kill something, you're getting put away. So that could be it. Because if you're going around killing animals and then people, you're going to get everybody in trouble.
Well, maybe.
So maybe that's
why. It does seem like it's all the... It's all the personalities that would have drawn too
attention that gets put into the undesirable category. And this researchers believe that Billy actually, in fact, split at the age of 8.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
See that?
His stepfather raped him in a barn next to their house. Well, there you go. That's why he split.
Well, who wouldn't?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably... That wasn't a one-time thing. That was probably...
It was a repeated thing. Yeah, it happened a lot.
And then dig your own grave and then lay in, I'm going to cover you up.
Yeah. He probably did that because he's like, look...
He probably beat the shit out of him, too.
Well, yeah, and then he's made him dig his grave and lay in it. And he probably told him, look, if you tell anybody, this is where you're going to end up.
Well, it was a real fucking possibility.
Yeah, I mean...
It's a real possibility.
Keep your mouth shut or this is where I'm putting you type thing.
Right.
A severe childhood injury entailed mental illness in the future. So, because of all this, that's why you got 24 personalities. The youngest Alter was no more than 3 or 4 years old. That is around the age of Billy when his father made the 2 attempts of suicide.
Which was also very traumatic.
Right. So... You may have your 3 to 4 year old as to split off so that some part of Billy still has that childlike innocence. So it's not completely lost. Maybe?
Yeah. I mean, that's as good a theory as any. I mean, it could just be that's where he dealt with it.
Yeah.
And it's compartmentalized. And now it's a separate thing.
So that would make Christine his first alter.
Yeah.
Billy lost control of his body completely at age 16 when he himself tried to commit suicide for the first time. Arthur, that was an expert in security official Reagan, that's when they started making Billy go to sleep. So that's when those two popped up, I think, was his suicide attempts. So they popped up to stop it. And then anytime Billy was feeling, I guess, overwhelmed or too stressed or to the point where he wanted to do it again, they would put him asleep. And either one of them or someone else would come out to protect him, to keep him from hurting himself, and therefore all of them.
So he was battling in his mind. I mean, we all battle in our mind. It's just his is more pronounced, if you think about it.
Yeah, because he's got 24 people in there.
Yeah. I mean, but you're also describing emotions and feelings. And,
yeah.
And so, whereas he, in his broken, shattered mind, because mm-hmm. that's how they, it's like a mirror that's shattered.
Yeah.
They have the a compartment or a piece that is the, okay, I need to take control of this right now.
So that he
then
doesn't.
You have the depressed piece, and then you have the angry piece, and then you have the assertive piece, and then you have the intelligence piece.
And anytime he's feeling overwhelmed, whichever piece fits that's going on will slip in.
It is almost like your mind takes over itself.
Yeah.
And says, self-preservation, this is what we're going to do.
Right. And that's what they say a lot of people that suffer severe trauma over a long period of time. They'll either blanket out completely or they'll invent these personalities
to deal with it
and to take
emotions,
it away.
All the emotions. Yeah. Or whatever. I mean, because we all have that, don't we? I mean, you know, if you're going into a tough meeting, you got to change your personality a little bit.
Right.
To match the tone.
Right.
It's just in this case, it's more pronounced because the core personality, because a lot of times we could switch back to where we need to be if the meeting's going a certain way.
Right, you can resort back to yourself. But in this instance, the core personality will not be allowed back out until the situation is fixed.
And they don't remember it.
Now, I know we all, I won't say we all, but a good handful of people have suffered the type of trauma that he did, the sexual abuse.
Maybe I not think to it's that, not
to that extent, where you're having to bury a fracking, dig a grave for you to put yourself in. But I think what's the statistics on sexual abuse? It's like 3 in 5, something like that.
It's a lot, yeah. It's a lot, it's usually family.
The big chunk of it. Now, I can say from personal experience, sexual trauma happened, family member. But a lot of it is blocked from where it started. Have no idea. Remember snippets. And remember when it stopped. But a lot of that is blank.
Your brain does that to protect itself.
Right.
Because because as cold as it sounds,
you're blocking it so
the body's got to go.
Yeah.
We got to keep going. We
got to keep going.
Moving. I got to keep pulling you up the mountain. We got to keep going.
But I guess my question is, how, like with me, how was I able to block it and not split into multiple personalities?
I think, too, there has to be another component as well. I mean, it sounds like from go, he didn't have a good support system.
Right.
Like, you go to mom, I don't care, whatever, it's not
me. I don't think his mom believed him.
Yeah, I mean, or she was like, it's not me, so
right,
whatever. And you see that a lot. I think that when you don't have that support system, you don't have somebody to go to, you don't have somebody to rely on, someone that's going to help you, someone that you trust, then you have to invent those people, kind of. Or your mind does that to deal with the fact that you don't, so you can survive.
I was lucky in the fact that I had a grandmother that was the support system.
Yes. And it's, I guess it's, for Billy, I guess it's unfortunate that his mom didn't believe him and didn't, because maybe this wouldn't have happened to him, and maybe he wouldn't have went down that road, and you know, maybe he could have lived a normal life. I can't imagine the hell that it would be in your mind to have all of this going on top of remembering snippets, on top of, you know, I raped somebody.
Well, those I don't think he remembers, because even during...
Yeah, but he's definitely in jail for it.
He's in jail for it, but I think up until, like, the very end, he was saying he denied raping anybody because he had absolutely no memory of it.
Well, I mean, that's the point that I'm making, is that, I mean, yes, indeed, he, you know, obviously it was his body that was doing it, but in his mind, he didn't know. Billy didn't.
Billy didn't do it, is right. What it is. Is that
Billy didn't do it, but I got to pay the price.
Right. Billy didn't do it. They're saying Adelina did. So.
And again, his stepfather strikes again.
Right.
Because
his stepfather calls the splits. So, in his case, it's the sexual abuse on top of the physical abuse on top of the psychological trauma
right. That
made him split.
Oh, yeah. And I don't normally buy the multiple personality. A lot of times it's disproven, and it's...
Oh, it's people trying to get out of trouble.
Billy, I believe.
Oh, yeah, because he had layer after layer after layer that caused the split.
I mean, I believe him wholeheartedly that he definitely had multiple personalities. There's just... And he was kind of a marvel to a lot of the psychologists. I mean, he was almost a celebrity in that ring, because everybody wanted to talk to him. Everybody wanted to examine him.
He was the first one, I think, that had so many.
And was, and like they said, able, because I think the reason they merged them, because if you're not able to merge and there's that many, you will self-destruct.
Right. So that's why the teacher was, so I guess his teacher was the movie Split's beast.
Correct. Because it had to come to that for them all to survive.
Something had to take four. They had to take the spotlight
Correct.
Completely and know everybody and what everybody's thinking.
Correct. And so that's the parallel to Split. Now, the Beast was for a totally separate reason. He was, you know, I think his thing was is that he was almost godlike.
Yeah.
And he needed to feed off of people who had no pain. If
right.
you had pain you
and had
already,
scars, then you were beautiful.
And you had been purified.
You're pure. Yeah.
You're purified.
Yeah.
Because he himself, the core personality,
had been so traumatized.
Correct. And he had already been purified by his pain.
Right.
But he was the only one that could rein the Beast in when they called his name. And Kevin or Wendell?
Kevin Wendell Crumb was
yeah,
his name.
When you called his name, he was able to, but I'm not sure that's how it works.
That's how it's, I think that's how it's supposed to work with DIDs. If you call the core personality, that core personality is supposed to come through and everybody else is supposed to go away. But I guess it kind of depends on how far gone you are.
And the rate at which the you know, how fast they changed to is one of the, in that movie is not how fast usually people
Oh no! It takes a little bit. In the movie, it was almost like instantaneous.
Right, which could have been demonstrating the whole getting ready to self destruct.
Right, and I do believe that they could actually. I think they could have conversations with themselves, because you heard that, like two or three people having a conversation at the same time, which it was obviously the same person, but that's not actually one of them in the spot. So maybe that's why they were able to do it, because you don't have just one person coming through. You've got multiple. So
I know
you're
it was
just
a,
having a conversation.
It was almost like a coup, though. It was, you know, it was...
Oh, in that one, it was a coup. The undesirables took over.
Right. And they took over as a group, with Patricia being in charge.
She was amazing. Oh, my God. She was so creepy.
But she was the one making all the moves and making the decisions.
Yeah.
And,
her and the guy with the glasses.
Well, but yeah, but she was telling him what to do.
And they were using the little boy. I can't remember his name, but you have the pop figure
yeah.
of him. They were using him because he was able to do what'd you say his name was? The fashion guy?
Barry.
He was able to do what Barry did. And Barry was the one that pulled people into the light. He had control over who was able to be in the spotlight. And the boy... who we loved that kid, and I can't believe we can't remember what his name was.
I can't remember him.
Was also able to do that. So it seems like with Billy, the teacher could do it, obviously, if he's able to combine all 24 together. And then the other two that were had control over it was Reagan and Arthur.
When I think when you say put them all together, I think you, for Billy to understand it and believe it, you have to give it a name.
Yeah, and it was the teacher.
But really all you're doing is you're taking all the pieces.
And putting the puzzle together.
And then saying, okay, well, we've put the puzzle together now and this personality, so now it's just one that you have to deal with. You know, for Billy.
But any time that happened, you were talking to the teacher, not to Billy. So the psychiatrists were talking to the teacher who was able to speak for everybody.
Including Billy.
Including Billy.
Correct. So in a sense, it was Billy whole. In a sense, that's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he just didn't see himself as whole.
Right. He didn't see himself as whole, but he was actually living as whole once they were able to
combine everybody.
Right. In the movie Split, the Beast was the whole of everybody, if it would have came to fruition. But that's what that character Kevin needed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He needed, that's what he needed to put everything together. And even though it didn't say he was a part of it, he was. That was his, that was what he came up with in his mind. This is what has to happen for this all to make sense, to come together. Because he was self-destructing.
Yeah.
And badass movie. I mean, Unbreakable. I wish in the last one, Glassick could have got somebody who, you know, I mean, I know that Bruce Willis is awesome, but he was just really showing his age in that.
Well, that was the point. I mean, he was supposed to.
Yeah.
Just because he was a superhero, he still aged.
Yeah, you know, it was epic.
I hated the ending.
Yeah, epic superhero fight, you know, a supervillain fight. And then you had the intelligent villain, too.
Glass.
Yeah, Glass, Samuel L. Jackson.
Who is Nick Fury?
Doesn't get much better than that. Very smart. And it showed the dynamic of how breakable he was, but could still defeat someone like David. Could still defeat someone like the Beast. Could still manipulate the whole thing. And just for fun.
That's how I did it. Or, no, I think it was also to prove a point.
Right. But the main thing was just that I could do it.
Well, that's what every supervillain does. I mean, they're just doing it because, hey, look what I can do.
I'm super smart, super intelligent, and I can put this together.
Yeah. Back to Billy for a second. After, you know, his suicide attempts and they put him to sleep, once he fell asleep, the number of active alters increased. So it kind of backfired on him. So when they put him to sleep, Arthur and Reagan made more personalities pop out. Two of them led Billy to prison for the first time. Brooklyn Phil was involved in homosexual couples robberies, and his friend Kevin attacked a pharmacy. So I guess they really did attack a pharmacy. One of the alters described his intended world as, his internal world as a dark room, in the center of which was the ray of light, like we talked about earlier. An alter would need to stand in the spot to take possession of the mind. And then here's, I think, what you said. When alters were unconscious of the mind, they slept, overwatched, and interacted with each other. So that's how Arthur was able to teach Christine.
You have your own community of personalities that can communicate with each other.
While they're in the dark.
While they're in the dark, yes.
Yeah. So Arthur and Reagan put Adelina in the list of unwanted alters after the rape of the three OSU students. Billy spent most of his life asleep. The alters isolated him to save the life of the common body due to multiple suicide attempts.
Like I said.
Right. They're protecting the core by protecting the one. Psychiatrists believe the reason for Billy splitting were his stepfather's rapes, his abuse, meaning that rape might not be the only reason, as there were other manifestations of violence by the stepfather. So the rape wasn't the only reason, but it didn't help.
Yeah, and again, I think this is if you're interested in multiple personalities, which fascinating to read the studies and stuff like that. Billy is legit.
Oh yeah, he's legit. And I think in Split, it wasn't rape. It was extreme physical abuse, right?
Yeah, by his mother.
Yeah. So it
actually, in the movie Unbreakable, it shows him as a little kid when David brushes by him and is able to see that this kid's being abused.
He can't stop it because he gets distracted by something
right.
else.
So that again, too, when we start talking about superhero stuff, that is what comes back and bites David in the ass. That he should have stopped it when he knew about it. But what does this kid grow into?
Right.
Because you didn't stop it.
Right.
He grows into someone that is your equal, but on the bad side. And
actually,
now,
I think the Beast ended up being stronger than David.
He did end up being stronger than David.
Yeah. I mean, David was able to hold his own, but I think the Beast ended up being stronger.
Yeah. Way strong. Well, I won't say way stronger,
and
but strong enough. Yeah.
What's even more messed up is that Glass also had a part in Kevin's Split.
Yes. And I think, too, that's the... They would have got so in-depth with... Because I think the most intriguing character of that whole trilogy is Glass. But I think if they would have got so in-depth with Glass, then it would have been like four-hour movies. But the fact is that everything that happened, he planned.
He planned it all.
Which would be Kevin. Which would be the train accident.
Which would be David.
David. Yeah, I mean, just to create all of these pieces on the chessboard so he could move them around.
I mean, I guess he didn't really create David because David was already the way he was, but he made David face.
Well, no, what he said was, I knew there was somebody else. There
like
was
me.
There was somebody that was like me, but opposite, and couldn't be destroyed, but had a weakness.
Right, and honestly, those three movies, I think, are M. Night's best movies.
Oh, yeah. I like M. Night, don't get me wrong. He does some cool movies like Devil and The Sixth Sense. And
but
I even,
the grandparent movie was
The
was
grandparent
horrible.
Movie was gross. But aside from just a couple little, what I call little shit nuggets, he does pretty good. But I think the Unbreakable trilogy
are the best ones.
Yeah. I mean, just phenomenal.
And then and I think Sixth Sense and Signs after that.
Love Signs. Signs is an excellent movie.
That was before Mel Gibson went completely crazy.
But if you haven't seen it, you should check those out. Unbreakable, Split, then Glass.
Mm-hmm.
And then you should check out The Minds of Billy Milligan. There's a book. There's also several documentaries.
Yeah, there is a book. And YouTube has a lot of stuff on
yeah.
it, too.
Several documentaries. A lot of stuff on the net about him. Especially if you pull up, like, the psychology research and stuff like that on multiple personalities. But he's definitely interesting and legit. So, that's all I got for Billy. I think what happened to him was pretty tragic. And I can understand why what
the
happened
splitting.
Yeah, I can understand the splitting, and I'm just glad he was able to die at least somewhat peaceful, I'm sure.
It was in a nursing home in Columbus,
so I'm glad for him on that. At least he went out with a little bit of peace.
And I think the movie he was trying to make, oddly enough, was off of his own experiences,
which, why not capitalize off your own experience,
right? But it didn't go anywhere.
It's your experience.
Yeah.
So that's all we got for The Minds of Billy Milligan. What's up next?
The Keddie Cabin Murders.
Keddie Cabin. I know that a lot of people here recently have been doing stuff on Keddie Cabin, but I want to tell you, we researched this about 6 months ago. So
to be honest, we had a podcast. Wasn't happy with the way it was going, so we kind of revamped it. So the one we just did and the Keddie Cabin are ones that we had done before, but
right.
add a little bit more, made it a little bit better.
Right. So, tune in for the Keddie Cabin. It's very interesting and still unsolved.
Oh, yeah. It's probably going to stay that way.
Yeah.
Bye. See you next time.